Hello and welcome to your yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast for the 14th of February 2016. My name's TLP Watson, and this week I'm joined by Gareth James. We're now going to talk about The Winter's Tale at the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse at the Globe Theatre. This is directed by Michael Longhurst and has quite an interesting looking cast. I'm just looking at the cast list here. Neve Cusack, James Garnon, a regular stalwart at the Globe, as Autolycus, John Light as Leontes, Rachel Sterling as Hermione, we also have David Yelland and Tia Bannon as Perdita. Gareth, tell me more about this production and what you thought of it.
I've got a real soft spot for this play, which a lot of people don't like. A lot of people find a bit of a problem. And it's also been adapted quite a bit. There's a musical adaptation by Howard Goodall, which is terrific. And there's a ballet, which was at the Royal Opera House last year, which was also a very good adaptation. For me, I don't know how you can not like a play with a sort of man-eating bear and a character called Time who explains the passing of 16 years. A sheep shearing festival, and then a statue that comes alive, really. So, I mean, for me, I don't see how you can't like something like this. And this is, again, in the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse, this glorious new candlelit venue. And, of course, it was written as one of the late plays. It was written for an indoor playhouse. So this is one of the four they're doing there, or three, I think, that were written for an indoor playhouse this winter. And I think it's frankly the best production of this play I've ever seen. It just suits this venue just brilliantly. And it gets an absolutely cracking production. I think a lot of people find it difficult because it starts very dark. You know, you've got the sort of situation where, you know, Leontes, the king of Sicily, has got this kind of rampant suspicion and very unfounded jealousy, which leads to the death of his queen and the death of his son, the prince, and the abandonment of his baby daughter. So it really sort of starts very dark, really. But then it makes this dramatic turn when it moves to Bohemia and we're sheep shearing. And it's a much sort of a lighter, very comedic piece, really. And I think that's possibly why people find it difficult. But I quite like the contrast, to be honest. They've not done very much to the playhouse here. That they've, in the first half in particular, apart from a couple of props, but then the second half, during the sheep shearing festival, they sort of do bring out some branches of trees and some garlands and whatever and do a bit. But the costumes by Richard Kent are terrific. And the space is itself, you know, it's its own design, really. So it doesn't really need very much. But I thought Michael Longhurst did a very, very good job of directing this. And I think, frankly, he's got a cast to die for, to be honest. John Light is an actor I haven't seen that much, but one I've always liked. And I think he's a terrific Leontes. And he does have to go from this kind of jealousy and anger through kind of being racked with guilt and coming back to, in the end, to reconciliation or redemption, perhaps. I thought Rachel Sterling, who I've not seen, I don't think, in Shakespeare before, was a fabulous Hermione. I thought she was just great. And of course, we really only see her in the first half or the first part of the first half, and then right at the end of the play. And you mentioned Neve Cusack, who I think is also terrific as Paulina. And I was reflecting when I was, you know, looking at this, how on earth did Judy Dench do this? Because it's meant to be a much younger character. But I mean, throughout the play, really, there are just so many good performances. We've got David Yelland doing Antigonus, who, you know, dies in the first half. So, you know, we get a great performance from him. And then we got a fantastic comic performance from James Garnon at Autolycus, who really, you know, I mean, I've seen him do lots of stuff at the Globe and the Sam Wanamaker Playhouse, and I think he's a great comic actor, and I think this is one of his best things. So just the whole thing for me was just a delight from start to finish, and I think it's just the combination of the fact the play's in the right venue. It's just intimately staged. It's simply staged. It's got terrific casting. And I just think it's a huge treat. So I'm now really excited, having seen Cymbeline and this, about the next two, because I've yet to see Pericles, which already opened. And of course, The Tempest is coming, the last of the four. So this Sam Wanamaker Playhouse is, I want to move in, I think. It's just terrific. And this is a terrific use of it.
I would agree. It's another one of those strong productions that they have at the Globe, and especially at the San Juan Omega Playhouse. I mean, it does seem to be a very good place for Shakespeare. I mean, I've obviously seen Pericles, and we talked about Cymbeline. I'm not quite sure that it's absolutely the best Winter's Tale I've ever seen. I've seen a fair few, and it is perhaps up there. I mean, a lot of it is that there's a certain slickness about the way that some Globe productions do this, and Michael Longhurst is obviously just, because he's got such a good cast, and old stages like James Garnon, obviously, and John Knight, who I've seen quite a lot of, actually, and he's always entertaining. Rachel Sterling, who I always love seeing, and Neve Cusack, who's very good as Paulina, although I'm coming not really to like Paulina because I never believe that Hermione's really dead. So if you don't think Hermione really dies, then Paulina is a nasty piece of work. But it is a very good production, and it's just showing how good it is to see Shakespeare in that place. And I am a little bit worried because I think that what they're proving here is that the Shakespeare works so much better, actually, quite a lot better inside than it does outside. And certainly compared with some of the productions last year at the Globe, they were, well, I'm not going to say ordinary, but they were very standard and, you know, a good solid quality. I think the four plays, or the three of the four plays we've seen in the San Wanamaker Playhouse have been much, much superior to the plays that we saw, any of the Shakespeare's I think we saw in the Globe last year. And I kind of hope that that's not going to stay the same, if only because I want the main Globe performances to be a lot better than they were. I mean, you have to say that it's not that anything at the Globe, I don't think anything at the Globe last year was particularly bad, but I don't think it wasn't exciting enough. And I think these are bringing a little bit of excitement back into the Globe. They are this very impressive chamber pieces which work tremendously well, and do kind of hope they're going to go back and do a few more of Shakespeare's contemporaries, because I always want to see some of those. But I'm always quite happy to see more plays, more Shakespeare plays in the San Wanamaker, because it does suit that kind of playing. I believe, however, that Emma Rice is going to do some more interesting and more experimental work in the San Wanamaker Playhouse, so it will be interesting to see how well it adapts to something slightly more modern, slightly more exciting, and of course probably featuring large amounts of Mike Shepherd. I'm now going to talk about Battlefield at the Young Vic Theatre. This is a production by Peter Brook and Marie-Hélène Estienne, based on the Mahabharata and the play by Jean-Claude Carrière. What they have done with this play is take the legendary 9 or 11 hour epic that Peter Brook made about 30 years ago of the Mahabharata, and have focused on a single part. So we get a 65 minute fragment. For those people keeping notes, what we deal with here is the end of the battle at Kurukshetra, where the Pandavas and the Kauravas fight themselves almost into oblivion. I think at the end of the battle, where there were once two great armies, there are now something like 7 people left alive, 7 warriors left alive, 4 on one side and 3 on the other. And the play takes up with the aftermath as one or two of the heroes die. There's a man called Bhishma, who is the sort of grandfather of everybody, who led the army and is left dying. And while he's dying on a bed of arrows, as is said, he also gives out an awful lot of advice. We move on from that to see the young king taking over, various members of this family who've been battling throughout the Mahabharata go into exile into the jungle and live out a life of asceticism, while the young king tries to govern, there are also elements of being possessed by the gods and the personification of the Ganges River and other bits and pieces like that. It's a very impressive piece of work, really, although it is perhaps a little bit slight. Brooke takes a cast of just four actors, Carol Kerameira, Jared McNeil, Iri Nzaramba, Sean O'Callaghan, and the drummer, Toshi Sukitori, to create this world of Indian legend. And he's done it before. I remember seeing the Mahabharata on television years ago and being very impressed by his version of it. And this has that same DNA. It has that same impressive nature. But at the same time, I always have a problem with Peter Brook. It is perhaps because of something I'm a little obsessed by. I keep wanting to see what all the fuss is about him. He does seem to be this interesting and this great theatre director, but although I've never found any of his stuff bad, I've always wondered, where's the greatness there? He is this legendary figure, and I'm yet to see something which I can see as legendary. As I said, never seen anything bad by him, and he's always interesting, but he has a way of doing things which is very typical and very Peter Brook, the idea of often things being done with nothing more than flowing cloth and a few sticks as props and as stage furniture. It works. It always seems to work. He's certainly under control. They're all in control, and it comes together very well. But I'm still, after all these years of seeing Peter Brook, waiting to see what is all the fuss is about. And it is of something I'm always reminded by, and I probably have repeated far too often when seeing Peter Brook plays. I'm just waiting for that greatness, which I'm sure I've heard about, and perhaps I've seen before, because every sort of director worth their salt is probably unconsciously or consciously influenced by Peter Brook, and therefore I've probably seen all his tricks before and am not that impressed when I see the real thing, as it were. But as I say, this is an impressive piece. It's a short piece, and yeah, it made me want to go back to the original, the 11-hour version. This is taking really the aftermath of this horrific battle in the Mahabharata. The battle which begins with this large section of the Mahabharata, which is called the Bhagavad Gita. But this actual play takes place afterwards, in the aftermath. And we probably are expected to see all the echoes of, the aftermath of battle and how senseless all the slaughter is and how much people regret the fighting, which is why some of the people who have been involved in driving these two parts of these families, the Pandavas and the Kauravas, these two family groups, and sort of the people responsible for putting these two family groups in conflict, are among the people who survive this battle or survive watching this battle, and therefore go and live out their life in a sort of jungle where they eventually are burned to death by a forest fire. As I said, it's an effective piece. There's some nice little parts. People sort of play animals and worms and monkeys, and there's a little bit of audience interaction, which works really quite well. But I think I needed a little bit more and a little bit something a little bit more complicated. This almost feels like a taster of what could be done, and a taster of what more can be done, and an encouragement perhaps to go back to your DVD of the Mahabharata, Peter Brook's Mahabharata, and look at that as well. I'm now going to talk about Orphans at the Southwark Playhouse. This is a 1983 play by Lyle Kessler, which features two brothers, Treat and Philip, who live in a rundown house in North Philadelphia, and Treat is a petty criminal, he looks after his brother Philip, who is something of a recluse. He had an allergic reaction as a child, and Treat doesn't really want him to go out of the room, but also doesn't want him to get an education. Philip seems to be a rather imaginative young man and is wanting to read and bust out, and Treat really doesn't want him to do this. Now, more about the production. This is directed by Paul Tomlinson and stars Alexander Neal as Treat, Chris Pybus as Philip, and Mitchell Mullen as a character called Harold. Harold is a man who is brought back one evening by Treat. He is very, very drunk. He seems to be some kind of businessman or possibly a gangster. We're not entirely sure to begin with. Treat thinks it'd be a very good idea to kidnap this man and hold him for some kind of ransom. Only if things start to go wrong, Harold is able to escape his bonds and befriends Philip, and also is able to confront Treat, who has returned having found out that nobody really wants to have anything to do with Harold. Harold seems to have burnt one or two many bridges back in Chicago, where he was clearly some kind of gangster. And it appears that Harold takes advantage of Treat and Philip in finding somewhere to hide out from an unspecified threat, possibly from the Chicago mob. But at the same time, seeing Treat and Philip, who, when we first meet them, are clearly traumatized by the death of their mother and the complete absence of their father. The mother has died relatively recently. They still have a closet full of her clothes, which Philip wishes to venerate, and Treat is rather frightened of. I mean, Treat is, throughout this, is the more frightened of the two brothers, although outwardly putting on a tough guy persona and going out and mugging people and beating people up. But when Harold comes into the picture, Harold begins to take them over and becomes this sort of father figure. This is a rather odd play. It feels a little bit like a fable. I mean, you wouldn't say a fairy story, but it has that feeling to it. The sheer generosity of the character of Harold, although he can be tough and can bully and push Treat around if necessary, he also wants them to like him and wants them to respect him. And he does seem to improve their lives a lot. And they do begin to see him as this father figure that they probably never had in their lives. I was slightly reminded of the play Ghost from a Perfect Place by Philip Ridley, which also deals with a sort of gangster coming back into East London in that case. And of course, that's a much more violent treatment of it. And you did expect, given the setup, for this to be a very violent and very, almost a very nasty play, an in-your-face play, if you will. But actually, I found this rather gentle, rather, as I say, rather like a fable, a fairy story, almost. There's not really an awful lot of grit here. But that's not important, I think, in the end, because you get carried away by the story and you get carried away by the acting. I mean, it does confirm one thing for me above anything else, and that is Mitchell Mullen. If you see his name in the cast, you really need to make an appointment to see whatever he's in, because he is a really good presence in this, and he's been a really good presence in some of the things he's done at the Southwark Playhouse. I mean, I'm thinking particularly of Superior Donuts, which he was in a year or so ago, and here, it's a wonderfully measured performance as this man who we're not sure why he's sort of taking these young men in hand, why he's helping them. I mean, there is that, obviously the stories he tells of being an orphan himself and living through the orphanage, but you're still not entirely sure what's his game and why he's doing it. He just seems to, in the end, have a generous heart, seems to be taking refuge in this place, but also trying to bring the best out of these young men. I mean, they're never going to be sort of sober, legal business people. He is inducting them to a certain extent into a life of crime, but it's a sort of almost respectable, almost middle class kind of crime that he's doing. It's all about briefcases full of bonds rather than actual violence. I mean, there is that certain petty violence, rather than the petty violence that Treat used to get up to, but there is always that threat. He is armed and really quite dangerous, but it doesn't always come out unless he doesn't get his way, and he will always much rather be kind to these young men. I found it an extremely entertaining play, a very fascinating play, and very well worth seeing, I think. But as I say, it does have that feel, the not being quite as realistic as you might expect it to be. You do kind of expect it to go down some very dark avenues, and it really doesn't. It sort of skirts them. You're aware that there is, you know, a bit of darkness somewhere, but in there, but it's actually really rather affectionate in the end, which is slightly odd. You can find us at AYULTP on Twitter, on the as yet unnamed London Theatre Podcast page at Facebook, on the web we are AYULTP.com, and the podcast can also be found on both iTunes and Stitcher, where you can leave a review. Thank you, goodbye.